gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host for this evening, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And they are all available on paperback, and the last two on Kindle via Amazon now. And I'm here today for a special Positive in Pro Wrestling. This was going to be a part of the aforementioned show, but it's going to have its own review. And it is, of course, the absolutely fantastic New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion show from this morning into this afternoon. So I opened this up for someone to debate the show with me across all my social medias. Unfortunately, no one's taken that up, which is fair enough because I only asked 40 odd minutes ago. So I'm going solo again. And absolutely fantastic show. And I'm going to run down the show, give my thoughts on each match. And well, you know the PIPW format by now, I'm sure. So yeah, let's get straight to it. First match was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. And it was Sho and Yo, Roppongi 3K with Rocky Romero, against El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Here we go with the Japanese wrestling pronunciations yet again. I apologize if I haven't got the exact pronunciation. This was really a really cool start to the show. Sho and Yo, fantastic high flyers. El Desperado and Kanemaru are, they kind of cheat and they're sneaky and that kind of thing. So a good athleticism against the sneakiness. And then in the end, the sneakiness paid off with Desperado and Kanemaru retaining their IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Good start to the show. The next match was David Finlay and Juice Robinson against Yoshihashi and Switchblade Jay White, the United States champion. This was another good match, a good tag team match. I was especially happy to be watching Juice Robinson, NXT CJ Parker, go up against Switchblade Jay White. I think there's some money in this feud really over the US title. And, this match was a really good showcase for Juice Robinson in particular. And with him taking the pinfall victory over Jay White, that seems to be the feud they're heading towards. And that would be fantastic. And that's something I'd love to see at Strong Style Evolved at the end of the month in Milton Keynes when I'm fortunate enough to be present. The third match was Tiru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr., Britain's Own. This was a quality tag team match. Suzuki Goon, brilliant. I can understand why Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. are tag team champions, the British heavyweight tag team champions for Revolution Pro Wrestling. Because they work so well as a team. It is like a dream team, really. Fantastic Zack Sabre Jr.'s skill and technique. Minoru Suzuki is just badass. He found his match, though, in Tomohiro Ishii. And a feud between those two would would light a fire under me. I think absolutely, like two hosses basically. Suzuki is, you know, badass, killer kind of wrestler. And Tomohiro Ishii is just, you know, can just take a beating and come on back. And yeah, that the ending and the aftermath of the match really got me excited for Ishii against Suzuki. That'd be absolutely fantastic. The fourth match was Michael Elgin and versus Taichi versus the never openweight champion Hirooki Goto. This was about Taichi and his ring valet, because she got involved in numerous parts of the match. It was said on commentary by Don Callis and Kevin Kelly, who were a really great tandem, by the way. Especially Callis, he's exactly like Cyrus in ECW days, and that is brilliant to hear. That Elgin versus Goto would have been the match, but Taichi got added to it. And in the end, it's Michael Elgin who picks up the win, becomes the new never open weight champion after you know, an Elgin bomb on Taichi. So yeah, that's the first title change of the show. One title retained, one title changed hands. The next match was for the IWGP Tag Team titles. Nick Jackson and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks, against Sanada and the King of Darkness, Evil. And once again, this was another good match. You know, the Young Bucks have been one of the greatest junior heavyweight tag team champions of all time, and they've recently made the step up to the heavyweight titles. And yeah, for those who have their, you know, negative thoughts on the Young Bucks and stuff, I thought the psychology of this match was fantastic, and I think it has been in previous matches against Roppongi 3K, in all honesty, when Matt Jackson's had an injured back. This time it was Nick Jackson who, like, did a kick, but he hit the ring post, and basically he then had this injury throughout the match. In the end, it wasn't enough to stop them from achieving history, as Nick Jackson and Matt Jackson become the new IWGP Tag Team Champions, and that's absolutely fantastic, in all honesty. The hottest team in professional wrestling right now, the most talked about team, the best tag team possibly in the world, holding the, you know, one of the most important tag team championships worldwide. So that's fantastic. The next match is a special six-man tag team match, christened the Legends against Bullet Club, and it was Hiroshi Tanahashi, everyone's favorite theme tune, Justin von der Liga, and obviously legend in his own right, and the debuting in New Japan Pro Wrestling, Rey Mysterio Jr., against Cody, the American Nightmare, Hangman Page, and the villain, Marty Skrull. And this was, really well-worked match again. Marty Skrull looked especially good in this match. He's had issues and tried to cause issues with all three of the opponents. And, you know, by them playing the cowardly villain in the match, it was really, really cool. And, Bullet Club steal the win in the end. But, you know, to see Skrull against Liger and Mysterio Jr., and hopefully once again with Will Ospreay, would be fantastic. And a match between him and Tanahashi would be really good as well. So, yeah, I think this is the start of a very interesting period of time for the villain Marty Skrull in New Japan Pro Wrestling. The seventh match was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, and it was Hiromu Takahashi, the Best of the Super Juniors 25 winner, against the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion and Britain's own Will Ospreay. And this is just an insane match, really. Both guys pushing themselves to the limits and then some. Will Ospreay, you know, scaring me, and the risks that he takes, you know, from a health perspective. Takahashi goes toe-to-toe with Ospreay, and in the end finishes it with a time bomb, and we have yet another championship changing hands, this time the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and this was a really good match. Enjoyed it thoroughly. The semi-main event was for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, and it was Intercontinental Champion, nine-time WWE Intercontinental Champion, sorry, Y2J Chris Jericho, against the IWGP Intercontinental Champion Tetsuhiro Naito. Hopefully I've pronounced that right. And yeah, this was Chris Jericho at his absolute best. Naito went toe-to-toe with him, of course. Chris Jericho has just found himself in New Japan, in all honesty. You know, he had a fantastic 2016, which I wrote about in my WWE book. But since turning up in New Japan, he's moved himself to an absolute different level. And there was talk today on Twitter that he's proven to be the greatest of all time. And in all honesty, with his matches in New Japan, a you know, five-star plus classic against Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, and this match against Naito, I can't really disagree with that, to be honest. Chris Jericho is another level. He is quite possibly the greatest of all time. And once again, a very vicious match with Chris Jericho picking up the win and becoming the Intercontinental Champion for the 10th time around the world. And with him taking the IWGP Intercontinental Championship in New Japan, this won't be the last we see of him in the company. So that's absolutely fantastic. And last but no means least, the match. I said it on Twitter. I said this match decides the future of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And, you know, that seems like a really big statement. But that's what it was for me. Okada and Omega fought at Wrestle Kingdom at Dominion last year and during the G1 Climax tournament. Okada won at Wrestle Kingdom, and then there was a draw at Dominion, a 60-minute draw, and Omega finally beat Okada at the G1 Climax. Sorry. This match, okay, how do I say this? This is the greatest professional wrestling match I have ever seen. In terms of compliments, it was like watching a film. You've got good against bad. So I'm going to say in this case, Omega is the good, Okada's the bad. And basically, they gave you an absolute masterpiece of a match. It was an hour and 10 minutes, I think, between bell to bell. And it flew by, first of all, which is absolutely outrageous in a time when people's attention spans you never sit there for an hour and 10 minutes, but I did, and I did willingly. And I was enthralled through the whole match. Shocked when Okada took the first fall, because I was thinking, okay, if this goes to Omega, he's got to win the first fall. So shocked and fantastic booking by New Japan for Okada to take the first fall, because it you know, it's probably shocked the world that he did. And then Omega takes the second fall and the third fall. Oh my God. It was just incredible, because Okada was going for the Rainmaker and he hit two and he went for the third, and Omega ducked underneath and hit German suplexes, and then he went for it again. And then there was the one-winged angel, and his foot was by the ropes, and you're thinking, oh no, he's missed his chance. And then he hits the one-winged angel again, and he put him away, and he finally put him away, and he's deserved this IWGP Championship for well over a year now, and he's finally done it. Kenny Omega beat Okada 2 falls to 1 to become the new IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and I tell you, that feels absolutely amazing to say. I've been in Omega's corner in this instance since day one at Wrestle Kingdom. I think I've discredited Okada to an extent, and I've had other people say that I'm not quite right in saying those things, and now it's kind of come full circle for me. I think for Okada, it was because he was the champion and because he's been champion for a long time, and that really, you know, coming out of this match, he's got obviously a fantastic drop kick. His psychology is amazing. He is a big match player, and he has carried New Japan on his back for, you know, well over a year now. So it's time to give him the credit he deserves. He had 12 successful title defenses, which is more than any IWGP heavyweight champion in history. So, yeah, Okada, you deserve my respect and you have it thoroughly. But I needed and I wanted Kenny Omega to win this championship because he's the best wrestler in the world. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. As you can see throughout the show, it's just built and built, like I said, like a film, just in that match. But throughout the show, you know, you had a really good opening match. The tag match is going to lead to Juice Robinson against Jay White. Ishii against Suzuki should be fantastic when it happens. You know, Michael Elgin's the new never openweight champion, and him against Goto would be really good as well. The Young Bucks are the new tag team, IWGP tag team champions, and that's, you know, that's amazing. Marty Scurll against Rey Mysterio Jr. or Justin von der Liga, or, you know, Hiroshi Tanahashi, or indeed, you know, Will Ospreay. So that's kind of set the scene for that as well. Ospreay, you know, will get his rematch for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. You know, the same could be said for Naito and Jericho. And obviously, there's so many other people. Chris Jericho could, you know, wrestle for the IWGP Intercontinental title. And then for Okada and Omega, it was the cherry on top of the Sunday. It's as simple as that, really. You know, there's a rematch to be had there, and then I just can't wait to see where we go from here. This was a pivotal show for New Japan, and they've delivered in spades. It's just as simple as that. They've delivered in spades, and now I can't wait to see what comes next. Under Okada, I wasn't sure, in all honesty. He's taken the company and that title as far as it could go, much like Asuka did in NXT. And yeah, this is just amazing. An absolutely incredible professional wrestling show, in all honesty. And I think this has always been talked about. So if you show a non-wrestling fan Okada Omega 1, 2, 3 and 4, and they can, you know, and they're no longer in, and they've got no interest whatsoever in professional wrestling, you aren't going to change their mind, because you've had a 6-star match, a 6.5-star match. Not sure about the star rating for the G1 climax, but this match, by Dave Meltzer's, you know, star rating review, has got to be 7+. It is the greatest professional wrestling match of all time. I was on my edge of my seat, like I was for the, you know, the Royal Rumble 2003 WWE title match. Desperately hoping that the challenger wins the match, much like then, you know, going along with the challenger and just hoping against hope and buying into everything, and just amazing. The psychology was amazing. The emotional investment was there. Yeah, that's all I can say, really. And if you haven't signed up to New Japan Pro Wrestling World to watch this, you need to watch it now. If you've watched it, you'll know and you'll hopefully feel the same way I do. And if you're yet to watch it, you're in for an absolute treat. So, yeah, that's it, really. I hope you've enjoyed this one-off special about New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion. And, yeah, this is Oliver Newman, a proud member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, and author of 3 professional wrestling books. And they are A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, my newest book, A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and The Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And they are all available on paperback, and the last 2 on Kindle via Amazon now. Hope you've enjoyed the show, and I hope you enjoyed listening. And I shall be back for Positive in Pro Wrestling on either Monday or Tuesday. Until then, goodbye, everyone. Bye for now. Bye.